Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host.
Okay, you guys, I found it. I got a word for you today. Came super quick. I was like, what word am I going to do? And the word that came up was stupendous. You are the stupendous. Depend of best podcast guests posts ever. You guys are, you rock as audience. You know you do. Thank you. I always say thank you because you should, but thank you so much for sharing. Look at our show, Mission Accepted, is all about people that take on the mission. And look at you do that no matter what. You know, these crazy folks have decided to do it for their craft. You know, this is what they do for their job, be crazy. You're probably crazy in something else. Who knows what you're taking the mission on? Are you a parent? Are you project-based? Are you diving into something philanthropic? Are you, I don't know, just getting up, doing your thing, right? We take on the mission every day. Sometimes feel it, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're like, ooh, today's mission's a little tougher than yesterday's mission, but you take it on. In this world, in this podcast, we talk to people that take that to the whole, you know, a whole nother level. The majority of their life is in mission. They have to talk themselves into it again and again. They're like, there was a reason I said yes. Oh, today that feels like the best reason ever. Yesterday, not so much, not so much. And we take on the mission for so many different reasons. One, sometimes because someone dragged us into it, helped us make a decision. We woke up with an inspiration. But I can tell you something, when you take it on, it gets creative. When you take it on, it expands. That's kind of the nature of taking on mission. So look, I've got a real creative with us today. We can't put her in a box. Susan can't go into a box because she's an entrepreneur. She does multiple things. And people are like, Deb, what's an entrepreneur? I'm like, it's an entrepreneur that can't say no. That's what that is, right? She's an entrepreneur. She covered that a long time ago. She's also in creative and she's also in media. So in racehorse, we would say that's a trifecta, you know, win, bet, and show. So, you know, you can double down on this bet. It's so cool. I met this woman through, now get this. This is how the world works. So I met a really cool guy on Facebook. We both were in love with media. So we had this conversation and he's a Hollywood producer and I'm putting a project together. And I'm like, hey, I'm looking for something in Canada. Cause you guys all know about the Ireland trek, you know, the 8.5 marathons across Ireland. And it's now getting into a book and then we're talking movie and who knows where that project's going to go. And so then he's like, hey, I got someone in Canada you should talk to. So I'm like, cool. I have this conversation, you know, with Alex in Canada and he's super creative. And we start talking, mostly talking about universe and God. We get into this big spiritual conversation. He's like, I know someone you should meet. And then, so here we go. That's kind of how it works. That's how it works. One handshake to another handshake. So this woman, incredible thought leadership. There's a lot of people that are out there coaching people. There's a lot of people out there helping people. And so you know what? Coaches need someone to coach them. Coaches need someone to help them. So she's very strong in thought leadership and that's what she does. So she supports people that support people. She's also very, very strong in media and I'll let her talk about her platforms. And one of her favorite things to talk about right now that she's digging into is really the power of our voices. Right? Specifically women's voices. So Susan, I know that's kind of a wild way of introducing you, but girl, you're a wild woman. So there's no other way. There's no other way. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here, Mike. You know what? You're the best at introductions. You seriously nailed it. And I'm thinking the whole time you were talking, I'm like, I'm in the right podcast. This is the best, I swear. This is that record. This is like divine intervention. No, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Honestly, you're right. It's so hard to pigeonhole us, you know, like the hard part about being an entrepreneur is what do we say no to? Because everything is great. Everything contributes towards the mission. And so then we have to determine what the hell's our mission, right? Like what the hell's our mission? And really, like you said, my mission in the recent 3 years, as I've been writing my own memoir, by the way, for entrepreneurs to finish their own book. It takes forever, by the way. So we are not all that. We have all of it in our head, but putting it through our hands on paper, ugh. But one thing I've really come across in my journey of writing my own memoirs, I've started realizing, wow, what was my greatest struggle in my life? Like, what was that greatest struggle, right? Mm-hmm. We're all out here to be vulnerable, right? Especially for me in thought leadership, I'm being watched all the time. I'm being stalked all the time. And because my voice is all about truth, there are a lot of people hiding and stalking me, and they won't, like, you know, they won't like, or because the moment they like or they appear in my zone, they're scared shit that I'm going to see them. It's like, oh my God, I don't want to be called out by Susan. Better run. Better, we'll just stalk you. And sometimes I'll get a DM like, I read your post 2 days ago and I didn't see them anywhere around. So, but yes, I am truly passionate. My mission is to help every single person out there, primarily starting with women, stand in their own personal truth, which is their voice. And it's not the voice of the head. It's not your thoughts. It's how you feel. And then to put that into words and then come into the world and not be vulnerable and be okay and be strong and that no one can hurt you but you. So that is my passion. That's my mission. And how I'm doing that is through social media. You can't, yeah, I hate social media and I love social media. I have, you know, yeah. Like you, Deborah, right? We have this love hate.
It's a love hate. It's a love hate, you know, because the way, well, it's interesting. It's interesting because in my business prior to the shift where we all had to go on to social media in this platform to save our businesses, really, honestly, you either got on or it was tough. And I'm not going to say how old you are, but I've got a five, you know, there's a five that begins mine. And it was really tough, I think, for someone like myself. I mean, I don't say this to brag, but I say this to compare. So I endorse these wonderful products and it's a direct sales company. And so I was number one in 10 countries, 150,000 people in this company. And I had only done 4 Facebook posts, Susan, ever. And people used to walk up to me and they're like, if you did social media, you'd do so much better. I'm like, I'm number one for 5 years. How much better do you want me to be? So how much time are you spending there, right? Which really teaches you, and you know this because you coach, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. But I did belly to belly. And it's easier, like when you talk about finding your voice, it's so much easier when you're in a one-on-one conversation to start to be vulnerable, to start to divulge, to start to do this, right? Where people get kind of like, woo, Susan, do I want to like her comment? Because you're brave enough and bold enough. We had to take our businesses online. So here we are, we're on social media. And then it's like, Susan, we need people like you to go, okay, when I post that, because we post it and we're by ourselves the most of the time. We're not in an office with a bunch of people going, yeah, sister, you put that out there. That's super cool. I got your back. Sometimes we're very trepidatious about what we're posting because we're afraid what 99% of the people out there think that we'll never maybe even see. And what are they going to say back to our post? I mean, we obviously went through that in this whole last while of people being on different sides of the fences of many different issues, but it's interesting to brave up even on social media, how nervous it can make us compared to, like I said, all of my business and all of my doings was very handshake belly to belly.
Absolutely. Like you, I'm 53 and I've been in sales since I was in my 20s. So, I mean, yeah. And back in the 20s and in the 90s, we didn't have social media. I'm sorry. So I sold like seriously face to face, right? Yeah. And I worked in a male dominated industry. So I've always been the only woman in every corporation I've worked in. And it's fascinating how I see so much of the women's empowerment that is against men or had these bad experiences with working with men and everything. And I have another story for myself, you know, and I didn't have those negative experiences. And I think it's because I held my own and mm-hmm. I didn't care if they fired me. I didn't let that sort of fear influence how the hell I'm going to stand in my own space. And interestingly enough, and I worked in Asia and Hong Kong, so there's a lot of sexual harassment. And it's not even sexual harassment over there. It's normal life. So we can't even say sexual harassment. There's no such thing. It's like, my ass is like, go F off, okay? And they're like, oh, okay, sorry. It's like, that's it, right? I mean, it's not some you know, so not to say that's right, but I've always gained the respect. I've always been promoted for speaking up. So that's really interesting. When I really looked at my past, I'm like, wow, all we need to do is speak up. Right.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right there, because you know what, if you ever do a book, I know you're doing a book, but if you ever do another book or a something or a hashtag where you decide to make a t-shirt, right. I promoted for standing up, promoted for speaking up. What did you just say? That was just incredible. I know it's in the show notes. I mean, I know.
Oh, great. It's in the,
right. Just but that you got promoted
yes.
for speaking up. Like, because when you say that, Susan, people like, they're like, that's a double taker. You got promoted for speaking up as a woman. You got promoted for speaking up. That's like, really? It's so oxymoron to what we hear. And look at, I'm in the women's game, and so are you, right? But that's a great name for a book. Promoted for speaking up.
Oh, you know okay. what? I'm going to take note of that. Seriously.
Take it. Right, yours.
Hold on. I'm going to type it in 2 seconds. Hold on.
Don't worry. We got it for you. We got it for you.
Okay.
We got a friend on the show. She's, you know, she's got it handled for you. Okay.
Well, you know, that's, I think this is why as I was writing my memoir, I thought, oh my God, I realized I had a traumatic moment that changed the course, the trajectory of my life and how I was going to behave in my life. I became very angry because my voice was taken away from me at that very age. And I never realized why I was such a high driver, such an angry person, and angry at myself all the time. You know, never, mm-hmm. we're never good enough. We can always be better. And I think you, when I met you, Deborah, I knew you were like my soul sister. You were like my little sister, or, you know, just hanging out, because we're like, we're the same. It's like, we're always going for bigger and more, because not necessarily because we don't think we're good enough, because we know we can be more. So it's really that fine line. But I grew up really angry with myself all the time. And I think the anger was the fact that I was not allowed to speak growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And so I went overboard, you know, that, and that's the pendulum swing. When you deprive us of something, we will then go overboard to compensate. So now let's stop depriving. Let's allow each other to just speak without even stopping people from speaking. Cause that's what we even do to women, never mind men to women, forget men. Men don't even have a clue what to do with us. Okay. I love mm-hmm. men and everything, but I got to sort out the women's thing here, cause we don't have to figure it out. Okay?
Like, well, and we don't have these conversations a lot either around women to women, right? I'll tell you something. And it was very interesting. So my ex-husband, we used to, whatever, go out, walk down the street, da-da-da-da-da, whatever, whatever. And he's like, you know, more women will look you up and down than men do. And I'm like, right? Us sisters, we need to get on our deal, right? Like, no competition, no, like, look at your na-na-na. Like, I'm like, no. We need to get on top of it. And I think we also need to love each other, but we also need to hear each other, but we also need to stop talking so we can hear each other.
Absolutely. I think, you know, as women, we can't get out of it. That's who we are. Women are better at selling each other than selling ourselves. That's just mm-hmm. the way it is. So why not? My mission is to create a world where, you know what? You don't have to think about yourself. Somebody will always have your back, because if we just, I call it the circle of love, right? If we just focus on celebrating each other, promoting each other, which we're damn good at, right? Mm-hmm. Then somebody else will have our back too. But we're living in a world where too many people are surviving, and not enough is just, and it's not like they don't want to promote you. It's just they can't because they're surviving. So that's why, Deborah, you and I were talking about that conference room, that we were talking about that magical, and which we will delve into really deeply, because I really want to do this, where we create this conscious world of, let's help the people out of survival, but at the same time, the people that are out of survival, let's do more. And that's, I want to see a world where we're creating rather than destroying.
Yeah. And it is true. I mean, it's particularly in the world of, like, you know, look at the vast world of entrepreneurship. Now, you know, entrepreneurship, I know entrepreneurship, we've been playing this for a while. And it has its own toughness. It has its own, I need to pay these. It's got its own survival gig. So you have a survival gig as a woman, as a mother, as a partner, as a friend. And then if you choose to do this entrepreneur, whatever you're doing, even if it's your career, right? And you're making your way up like you did, right? There, that's its own kind of hustle, right? That's its own kind of survival. And then you want to, and you will help other people. But there's also that there's that oxygen mask, their mask, oxygen mask. And then we know burnout comes from doing too much out. So now we're really good. We're super good about being able to put on our own mask first. But I do agree. There's a lot of people because also have stepped into the world of entrepreneurship. I'm going to do this on my own. There's a lot of people just trying to make it. They're just trying to make it. And we've come out of this thing where we all just tried to make it. You know, I think that we're probably sitting at a time where there's still some, you know, low level PTSD residue from like friends of mine. They're like, I'm nervous to go into big crowds. I'm like, it's okay. You just had 3 years of not being in a crowd. Like these are people that would host the biggest dinner party. Like I'm noticing that I want to go to that concert, but I don't want to go to the concert, or I want to go to the movie theater. So I think we're still also coming out of a place of survival that was very collective, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you just said something really important. And I was just telling my niece the other day, one of the things about COVID that I really, really appreciated, because I really did enjoy my time in COVID, just because there was one thing that got fixed or healed within the COVID time for me, and that was FOMO. I had really bad FOMO. So I was going to the movie theater because I just can't miss a movie, or I was going to a conference, because another thought leadership conference, because I just can't be away from the party. So really COVID helped me get that whole FOMO thing out of the way, because it was really controlling a lot of my behavior and what I did and how I spent money and how I spent my time. So I really enjoyed the fact that I came out of COVID like largely out of FOMO. I still have a bit of it, because when I hear like everyone's having a party or something, I'm like, oh, I gotta go. I just gotta go. But that's who I always will be. But at least the FOMO, because the FOMO, and we live in a traumatized world, so everybody's traumatized. I think anybody who denies that they're traumatized and they're over it is not over it. We're all traumatized one way or another. And so I think trauma awareness is one of the pieces of work. And when you and I met, I was working with the film producer on some projects. And one of the biggest projects I really want to work on is helping create a new construct, a new future for the children, the younger generation. So because they're a whole different animal, the young kids. They're like, they think differently. They have a different awareness. And so, I want to close all these gaps in society, whether it be generational gaps or gender gaps or cultural gaps and all these gaps. We're all humans going through an experience here that includes pain and joy. Okay. That's about it.
Well, I think that's what we've all come through. I love how it's funny, because I was just interviewing a 24-year-old guy that's, you know, launched a clothing company, and he's talking. And as he's talking, honestly, it's a beautiful thing to watch, because for people like us that have cut ground, right? Cut ground. When you say it's a whole new animal, they have, you know what I believe, this new generation, they have a whole new level of allowance. And do you know why they have a whole new level of allowance? Why this guy, when he talked about one of his major key players in his success, was because he had people that surrounded him that cheered him on. I was like, in our generation, because we're, you know, same generation, we didn't have that. Like we had to cut teeth, like we cut the path. And now this new generation is coming up. And I'm not saying like, go buy me a t-shirt with an award on it. You know what I mean? I'll take a nice dinner. send me a bottle of bourbon. Okay. But send us all a bottle of bourbon, because we cut grass. But it's like, we really laid path. There's been this huge, when you talk about thought leadership, when you talk about the people that were really starting this whole path, and I'm watching in droves. I mean, I do this for a living. I get to, you know, sit across the screen from some pretty cool people doing some cool stuff. And it's younger and younger and younger and younger. And they have a whole different level of allowance. They didn't even know some of the guard posts that were put there, right? Like self-esteem of a 50 or 60 or 70-year-old woman is very different than a 20 and 30-year-old woman in two different arenas, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I find it fascinating just talking to young people, because like I said, they're so different in the way they see life. But at the same time, though, I think that they're very self-motivated as well. So there's a whole and this is why, to me, consciousness is the collective considering outside of ourselves. And so you have the young people, they're so focused on what they need to do that they bring results. However, there's a whole outside world has to be considered too. So it's almost like if we could just bring some key people in all cultures, all generations and everything coming together to talk about solutions that for the greater good, right? Mm-hmm. It's greater good. That's where I'm fascinated about, wow, there's only a small handful of people in this world that I've met, and I've met some really incredible, powerful, particularly women, right? Who are doing things quietly. And that's why I think as loud as I may be, or as loud as you may be, in a good way, not a bad way, we're doing a lot of other things quietly that a lot of people don't realize. Not that it matters, but I'm just saying, like, what you see is not what you always get, people. Like, you mm-hmm. gotta start thinking critically. And the one thing that people don't understand, and you get this, Deborah, because when I first talked to you, I started realizing and putting the pieces together, what makes people successful, really, right? And mm-hmm. what makes a coach, because you're also helping motivate people and coaching people, mm-hmm. teams and everything like that. And so I'm like, you know what? We have to understand the concept of money and money generation and how to generate money, because without money, I'm sorry, you're not going to be doing much. So money is important, right? And for me, mm-hmm. coaching is not my end all, right? Of course not. God, I'd be eating grass if I'd just be doing coaching, for goodness sakes, right? Holy moly, it's like pulling teeth out there. People don't even know how to make decisions anymore. And when they do make a decision, it's already passe, gone, done. Should have done this 10 years ago, okay? Like, honestly, like, social media, that's what it's doing to us. It's messing with our brain with decision making. But we have to understand that you need to go and do things that you love and have that money, circulation of money coming through, so that you can do what you love, right? And I think mm-hmm. that's how I'm able to coach on a much higher level, because I know how to generate opportunities, right? Where it's like a money go round, right? It's like the circle of love, you know, helping others and others helping you. It's a money go round. It's like a whole merry-go-round of all sorts. So I think it's really important that people have to realize that you don't just make money on one source. That's not how you scale, right?
Right.
It's all about generating opportunities and then using that money. So yeah, at the rate that I spend, it's scary, but at least I have, you know, it's true. It's like, I lost $500,000 on that deal. Oh, well, sucks to be me. Got to go and make them again. Like, you know, like, it just, I think people have to realize that the multiple sources of income is an important concept to really grasp in these days, if you really want to be successful, but it's finding what you love to do first, right?
So let's unpack that a little bit, Susan, because I can hear, like, you know, the beautiful thing about doing a podcast and being a little bit of an intuitive, my ears are burning and I can hear questions. And I'm like, the show hasn't even aired yet, people, and I can hear your questions. So one is, what do you say to, because you coach a demographic of people that are helping other people. So they're revenue generating, but they may not be revenue generating with the one thing yet. Like, so you're like, so some people go, oh, I'm in survival with this one thing that I'm doing. So I'm going to add this and this and this. Is that a smart decision? Or do you suggest that people start to get here? Like, what would you say to someone that's in survival going, I want to be able to go, you know, lose $500,000 in a deal and go, oh, sucks to be me. You know, that's some people's lifelong dream, is to be where you are at this stage. So what do you say to people that are in that spot?
Well, I don't work with people. My one-on-one private clients are not in survival. Okay. Although they are in survival because they're making $1 million a year, but they're still in debt because they're not able, these women are not able to say no, or they keep attracting narcissists that take them away from their, like, it's just a mess, right? But doesn't mean you're not in survival if you don't. I have a client that's making $750,000 a year, very successful woman, but in such severe debt because her children are zapping her of her money, or her boyfriends are like zapping. I mean, it's just, you know, so
yeah.
It's a different type of survival, but anybody who is in survival that is just trying to put food on the table, be smart. You know what I mean? And you need to start thinking about the pragmatic things at that point. You don't, you know, all this thought, the new thought leadership of just quit your job and just sink or swim, you're going to make it. And no, I've seen way too many people believe in that kind of thing. It takes a certain type of character to even do that. And not everybody can. And I've seen enough people in all those thought leaders that come and tell you, just give us your money. We're going to help you achieve your dreams. It's like, okay, no, you're so far behind of your dreams that we need to put food on your table because your kids are taking from you because they need to be fed. And it's that sink or swim thing doesn't work for everybody. I'm sorry. What do you think, Deborah?
Sink or swim. I think there's two things. I think there's calculated risk, and then I think there's faith.
Yes.
And so when you're making that decision, first of all, have some good people around you. Look, I mean, the gentleman that I talked about today, and even when I came up with my first, I had an aromatherapy home party company, as you know, for 17 years. And one of my good friends, super successful in direct sales, I used to like do chakra balancing on her and she'd make all sorts of money. She literally turned to me and said, the world's not ready for an aromatherapy home party company. Now, whether she was right or whether she was wrong, she pissed me off enough to keep me fueled for a dozen years. I was so mad at her and I made it work. And it definitely took care of our family. So I think there's something about having a good sense inside, if you're ready to throw up because you're not prepared. I mean, when I made the decision to even start being an entrepreneur and doing a massage, I'm sitting in this massage class. It's the second day I get tingles all over my body. And I'm like, I'm going to do massage. So what I did is I pulled out a piece of paper and pen, figured out how many hours I could work. What could I charge? What would it cost me? Like, you got to do some of the fundamentals. And then faith is always part of it. Like, I love the Scottish proverb that says, there's a Scottish proverb about people taking faith. And because I've been, heavy supporting the direct sales industry for a long time, it's hard because 80% people in there are doing something part-time. They've never done this before. And you take a calculated risk of faith, right? You can't feed your kids. You're not buying the biggest kid to come in. You take a calculated amount of risk and you work with someone on that. But there is a Scottish proverb that says, until you say yes. Now that yes could be in here. No entrepreneur doesn't say yes to themselves first, even if it's milliseconds, right? So when you say yes, all unforeseen circumstances appear, meaning the book comes off the shelf. All of a sudden I call, John in LA that puts me in the Alex in Montreal. And now I get to talk to you and then you put me in front of a ghostwriter those are unforeseen, but until you say yes, they don't come into appearance. So I'm very much a big calculated. And I think people are much more calculated now. Make a reasonable decision, make a decision based on certain reason. And then more than likely, unless you're already well-funded or well-circled or unless you have that, then your faith may be a little bit less. I think faith and sink or swim are two different things.
It is. Yeah. Well, sink and swim without faith is pretty much death, right? I mean, that's like deadly. You're drowning. So, but you know what though? You're right. I mean, in terms of saying yes, always. Now I came up with the definition of what self-love really is, right? Self-love is mastering the art of knowing how to say no and when to say yes, right? Mm. And this is the thing. We live in a world where I'm watching people just blindly saying yes because they're being coerced, or social media is just that damaging if you don't go out there with your own voice, with your own identity. And I'm finding that a lot of, particularly women, are just going out there because they're all trying to support, but they're in no position to be supporting. They need to start thinking about themselves, right? And so, and like I said to a client of mine yesterday, I said, not all giving is equal, right?
Unpack that one a little bit.
Yeah.
Explain that a little bit.
Not all giving is equal. Now, this client of mine was sex trafficked at a very young age by her father. Okay. So mm-hmm. She's 50 now. So we have a lifetime of crap to deal with. And I had to even pull in a therapist just to work with me on this client because it's brutal. Right. And I don't tend to work with clients like that, but this was a very unique, special individual. So anyway, and she's helping somebody and she was going to buy this very powerful attorney friend of hers, a fridge. And I'm like, okay, so why are you're barely surviving and you're going to use your nest egg now that we've just created for you, right? To buy an attorney a fridge for doing you a favor. And she's like, well, what's wrong with giving? I said, you're giving because you're buying love again. We need to knock that program. You don't need to buy him. First of all, if the fridge saves his marriage, great, buy it. Know your audience. Like when I'm giving something to you, Deborah, I'm giving it to you because it's something you're going to need, right? I'm going to say, well, Deborah, look, her painting is, I'm going to buy her a new painting because it's not quite right there. Like,
exactly.
There's a difference between buying love and buying because you really do believe that it will make a difference in their life, right? Mm-hmm. And this is where we need to have that distinction very clearly. What intention comes or motivation is coming behind the giving? Because a lot of the women I work with are over giving and the intention is very wrong. And the giving, there is no reciprocity in the universe, never mind the person that they're giving to.
Right. It's interesting when you start to dissect that a little bit. Let's kind of circle back, because I know you have different platforms and I know that you work a lot with people in film, which is about voice, right? Getting something on the screen allows people to have voice about certain things and certain issues. And obviously the work that you do, but you're like, it was interesting when we were talking a little pre-show, you're like, sometimes people have a different voice at home than they do out in the world. And it's confusing, or we don't know our own voice. I know we've kind of talked a lot about that, but if I was just to say to you, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean to know our own voice? Or
yeah. So who I am in front of you right now, how I talk is exactly how I am when I'm talking to my husband or when I'm talking with my friends. Right. I have one brand and one brand only, and that is you see what you get, right? And yes. It's interesting because I didn't realize and that's what I call integrity. That's what I call integrity, right? It really is. You stand by who you are, and it doesn't matter. It's too much hard work out there. If I have to walk out the door or go onto a Zoom call, it's like, okay, I got to prep myself into being whoever I think that I want people to see me as. You're literally going to totally implode in no right. time. Because when we're on Zoom, we could feel the millions. We can feel all that energy coming at us. Like I could even hear, like you could hear the questions.
Yeah.
I could feel all the, because I call myself a disruptor. I do disrupt. I disrupt anything that you think is normal to disrupt it to be whatever is normal, right? And right. I think that's where the disruption comes with disrupting the disrupted. And so if we just stand as who we are in the house and be so confident that when you walk outside and you're that same person, that people are still going to love you.
That's really interesting, because you talked about, you know, sometimes we're someone different at home or different here. And we're not talking about appropriative behavior. Like when you're in a business meeting, of course you have to, you know what I mean? You're not like, hey, dude, how's it going? Like, I mean, you know, there's protocol, but it's interesting because when you say that, I think people, you know, there is different personalities. So what makes you so brave, Susan? What allows you, so other women can hear that and go, what makes you so brave that you get to be who you are as much as possible?
You know, I think being in sales, as you would know too, being in sales, the one thing I learned in my time and all these years is know your audience. Mm. If that's the only thing you have to learn in your life is know your audience, you're never going to worry about being somebody else. Because my only MO is to make sure that anybody who crosses my path walks away with a different thought, with something different that will give them the gift of walking away with something that they're going to carry with them that has changed them that one moment. Because I'm just always listening to what you're saying, but always finding that angle of, hold on, what is it that she really, really needs? What is it she's really, really trying to tell me? And that's all I'm, so it forces us to listen. It's not me trying to say, oh, Deborah should be this. So I'm going to try to control that conversation energetically so that I fit in. No, I am trying to understand you so that I can have a deeper relationship with you, a real one. And if it never achieves that, then fine. Then we won't talk again.
Right.
But it's being okay with not matching with somebody. It's okay with not being aligned with somebody. It's okay to know that, okay, well, this is what I learned by talking to this person. I won't repeat that same thing again, you know, and walk away and not expect to hang on to that person, because we tend to latch on to people. And I do believe that, I'm sorry, seniority of time doesn't force me to be friends with you. If, let's say, you and I have known each other for their 30 years, I don't know how many times I've heard clients or friends say this, but I've known them for 30 years, you know, but it's a toxic relationship. Don't you think it's time to go? But I've known them for 30 years. Oh, geez. No joke. That kills me, because when we grow, and like any marriage, if I could break up with a man because we've outgrown each other, don't you think a girlfriend is going to be gone faster than ever? Yes. Right. If that person doesn't agree to grow with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to become toxic as you want more. So I think it's personal growth is not about focusing on what you want. Personal growth is about mastering the art of letting go.
Right.
It's like hiking up Mount Everest. The higher up you go, you got to offload.
I love that. You shared that with me once in a conversation, and I was like, that's good. Like that's good, right? And not only offload what's not right externally, but also offload, like, and we talk about this. It's like, the more you go into a different place in your world or in your career or in your this, it can get funky. And you know what? Oh my gosh. I had just pretty well been in my business maybe 5 years. And I remember my bank manager was a woman, and she introduced me to a stock, you know, for someone for stock advice. And that was also a woman. And we had like this, they kind of sat me down as this newbie and said, let me tell you, as you start to go up the success ladder, things can get really interesting. Stuff that I never thought. So when you talk about offloading, sometimes it's tough, right? Or putting places, people, or things in their right place while you're making your way. It's there can be a lot of letting go that no one told me.
No, letting go is the hardest thing in life as we grow, as we want more and achieve more. Yeah. You're right. I mean, it's the hard, that becomes the hardest thing. But the thing is, if you stand strong in your brand, because I do believe that people have to start learning about branding, and personal mm-hmm. brand is something that's very, very important. Even if you're not a speaker, even if you're not a thought leader, even if you're not a coach, to go into the space of social media and start reading all that stuff, right? If you're not strong on your own personal brand of who you are to you, you will start getting sucked into everything everybody says. And that's when we get pulled away from our center, right? Mm-hmm. So your personal brand, like Coca-Cola, how much do you think Coca-Cola wavers from their brand, right? They know who they are. They know how they're made. And they don't waver. Just like every McDonald's, like all those brands, if we just follow that philosophy for our own heart, mm-hmm. and who we are, the story of where we came from, and celebrate ourselves as much as we can, right? Because then no one else is going to celebrate us more than we can celebrate ourselves, right? Yeah. And so I'm married to somebody that calls me out, thank goodness. Because he's like, your head's getting too big. I got to blow you. Like, I got to poke that helium balloon. Because I'm so used to celebrating myself. Like, I got to, because I'm in a room.
No more Jimmy Choo shoes. No more, you know?
Right, exactly. Right. I sit here listening to people's crap all day long. I mean, it's bad. I'm like, God, I don't have to watch soap operas. I get this all day long. Like, seriously. So how do I have to keep my arm's length from all that energy that's coming at me? These stories are incredible. Some of the clients I work with have incredible stories, right? Mm-hmm. Makes me look like Tinkerbell, like honestly, makes me feel like my little problem is nothing, but it's not. It traumatized me in a certain way. But yeah, no, I had to marry somebody that is able to call me out because I need it, right? I don't know everything and I don't want to know everything. It's lonely mm-hmm. enough as it is, you know? I mean, I don't have a million people that I say, oh, no, understand me. I don't. A handful, maybe two in this mm-hmm. whole big world, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's all I need.
Exactly.
We have to
okay, so let's shift this a little bit. Let's shift this a little bit. There's so many good things in there for people to take in and implement. And I think they can, that this is why I've been an endorser of coaching, training, mentoring, masterminding with people, not only the perspective that you see, but also the hope and the lineage that you see. I was just talking to someone yesterday and they were like, oh my gosh. And I had given them some things to do and they're hitting success. They're hitting success. And because we can't see it sometimes for ourselves. So when you can advise or move people over or, you know, get someone to realize like you don't need to buy a fridge. I mean, most people wouldn't really unpack that. They're like, oh, that's an interesting gift to buy. If someone bought me a fridge, I'd be like, okay, sure. So, okay, sure. You know, but you're able to unpack it when you're working one-on-one with somebody and just make those, again, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. But put all that aside. Obviously you're, you know, very intelligent in what you do. What are some things just personally? So someone was say, Susan, blah, blah, yeah, she's a, so what's something about you we don't know? Not business-wise, but just something about you we don't know.
I'll give you an example. This is really hilarious. One of my students, one of my clients, I invited two of my clients over to stay with me for 8 days to live the life of Susan for 8 days. And one of them is doing her NLP practitioners thing, right? And so yeah. She said, oh, so with trepidation, she goes, Susan, can I use you as a guinea pig? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? And she's a client, right? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? I don't really don't care. I literally have no secrets. Whatever you ask me, I will answer anything. So she's like, okay. So what do you need help with? Oh, I was on a date when I was 14, my first date. And I was with a 19-year-old that we were watching him and he just completely molested me the entire time for 2 hours. And I did not have the voice to tell him to get the fuck off of me. Right. Sorry. F word, F bomb. And, but that traumatized me for my entire life on anybody who goes in that certain space in, on yeah. my body that I just tighten up. Right. And I'm yeah. like, can you help me overcome that? And she's like, now she's shocked out of her mind that Susan Hum has something, a trauma with sexual stuff and whatever. I'm like, yeah.
yeah.
I am, you know, it's interesting. I am everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever problems you think you have, I have the same problem.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's the thing is that I stand up here and I talk about all these solutions, but that's because I've overcome a lot of the solutions. I've had to work through a lot of these solutions. I do not give solutions that I have never done before. I can't. Right.
Right.
I will. That's why I have to pull in a specialist for PTSD to come in, because I'm not going to sit up here and claim that I know what PTSD is like. I don't.
Yeah.
I understand it. I have compassion, but I also am very real enough to know that I'm not the person that can fix this. Right. And yeah. I think that's what everybody probably should know, that I'm not infallible.
Right. Right. So this is going to be a hard question for you. And then we're going to wrap up a little bit. Oh my gosh, we could talk forever. And I know that we will. I know that we will again. So I'm a big person. I talk a lot about top performance. You're talking about working with clients. I work with clients. We have people like this amazing, oh, this incredible book project that, you know, that we're doing, and speakers coming up and the lot, you know, the largest event, blah, 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 and all that good stuff. And in talking with people, I hear a lot, because I've had results. You've had results. We've had them maybe in some of the same areas, some of the different areas. You know, it's like, I believe in what you just said. This is what's making me think about it. I say to many times to people, don't go to your bank manager with, you know, with marital issues. Go to the expert, right? Go to the expert. So as someone who is pretty expert in top performance, and you are as well, from a top performance standpoint, and you are obviously working with people that are, you know, accumulating business. They're entrepreneurs, I would think predominantly. What's some of your top performance tips that you would say to people? If you had to kind of sum it up in a couple of tips you'd share to people that are like, I know I could do more or be more or make more. Is there some hacks that you can share?
Absolutely. One big one for high performers or peak performers, or anybody that is in what I call high drivers, right? Because that's who I attract, right? Learn vulnerability. There is no breakthrough when there's no vulnerability. Okay. The big V word is the most important word for high drivers. I think that's where, that's what I focus on most in my day, is helping people feel safe enough to break down with me. I will break you down. I will raise you up and then break you down in a split second, because I'm breaking that ego. It's like that certainty that we think we have. And the moment we have the certainty, I break you down to, somebody called me Yoda the other day. She's like, you're Yoda, I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm like, what the hell? How does that have to do anything to do? You break me down every time. And I'm like, and you're right. It's like hashtag Susan, you're right. So it's that, no joke, vulnerability. Really start embracing it and choose the people that you feel safe with, right? It's not just about, oh, I'm ready to work on vulnerability, I'm just going to go to the first coach. Oh my gosh, no. We have the biggest lie detectors within ourselves. Listen to it. Feel safe. Work on the vulnerability, because when you get to that point where you're thinking about peak performance, that's where the vulnerability is stopping us. That's the threshold, right?
Wow. Okay. That's a great hack. That's a great hack. Okay. We're gonna wrap up pretty quick here. I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to get you to share where people can see you, follow you, hang with you, you know, get a little bit of Susan. Bucket list. Sweetie, what's something that's on your bucket list that you haven't done yet? I always think it's important to put out at least something on your bucket list, because you never know who's listening. Yes. So bucket list.
Yes. Bucket list is to travel for 3 months on the Princess 88 and to be on that ship for 3 months and to travel Europe. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Europe on Princess 88. Is there something particular about Princess 88? Like, am I missing something? Did I not get the memo?
Well, because I promised because I'm not a water person, but I said, but he's a ship person, right? Like a yacht person. So he's like, well, I'm like, the only way I'm going to go and spend 90 days in sea is you put me on an 88-foot yacht that's made out of mahogany, and I could just lie there with my champagne, and I'm not into sailing. So just make sure that I'm comfortable. That's, you know, I like my comfort, right? And so that's why. So that is my bucket list.
That's your bucket list. Okay. Where can people get a hold of you, Daryl?
Facebook, LinkedIn. I have my YouTube channel, but I'm revamping the YouTube channel because that was the old me. The new brand is coming out even louder. So, but yeah, Facebook, and I'm not on Instagram that much, but LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube.
Okay. So there's another hashtag for you. Your second book is going to be called hashtag even louder. I'll take even bolder. Or even rocks, you know, double down rock star or something. I don't know, something to do with music. And you can take that one. Okay, look, last question before we wrap things up. You are on your way to a desert island. We won't make you go there by sea, but you're on your way to a desert island. We'll fly you in your private jet. You can just miss that whole water thing and land, but it's you and you. And you only have room in your suitcase for one vinyl album. And it's the one that you just could not imagine not listening to the rest of your days. So, girlfriend, what's it going to be?
Oh, geez, girlfriend.
Yep.
One album, right?
One. Yay. Not a greatest hits, not your playlist. One.
It's going to have to be Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Can't go without my Hall & Oates. I mean,
oh my gosh, he's amazing. And Daryl Hall now does these things like from Daryl's house. I don't know if you follow him. He's got from Daryl's house, and he's like, he brings in all these amazing singers, and they all play kind of like backyard garage style. And he's like, yeah, so it's very cool. Very cool. Oh my gosh. Haven't heard that
and
one
he
for a
was
while.
My dude too. I it was Daryl Hall that I loved more than Judd Oates.
I had a crush on, I went from having a crush on Leif Garrett, which was one of my first concerts, to Peter Frampton. Who didn't love Peter Frampton? It's like, I actually just got his album. Okay, just went about his album. Okay, never mind going down our memory lane. Look, people, if you want to be where Susan is and you want to come on the show, we would love to hear from you. It's not difficult to reach out. It's deb@debdrummond.com. Please share this episode. You enjoyed it, shared it. That's how this gig works. That's how it, you know, when Susan was talking out in the beginning about like, we edify each other, we support each other. This is a really great thing to share. It doesn't take much other than just flipping it and sharing it. And please do the reviews. We have such an incredible leader, listenership all over international. And, you know, Ireland's made its way up the path because I keep talking about this crazy walk that we're going to do for the, you know, for these amazing musicians and what have you. If you want to participate, if you love music as much as I do, if you get from it what we all get from it, right? The reprieve that you get from music, please go to theydiditour.ca. Go to the Facebook. When's the last time you bought an album? If you haven't bought one in a while and you want to support this industry, please donate. Because you know what? 85% of musicians can't pay their rent. And that doesn't serve anybody. That doesn't serve anybody. So let's keep that circle of music going on. And then if you are a woman and you would like to speak and you'd like to have your voice and you'd like to be an author, we have the largest authorship and speakership, 375. 375 authors and speakers are going to be speaking from March 2023 to Mother's Day 2024. It is a big project, and it is not like when, don't think, oh, I'll go do it the following year, because no. We do this once. We're going to do it once. We're going to do it right. If you'd like to be a part of that, we have a place where everybody can play and share no matter where you're at in your business or your craft. So deb@debdrummond.com. Susan, thank you so much for coming on the show today. You added lots of thought-provoking, which I know that you're all about. Any last words before we sign off?
No, it's been wonderful talking to you. I knew it'd be amazing anyways. And yeah, everybody, just your personal brand, be you.
Be you. All right, that's good. Be you. Another one. Okay, thanks everybody. Be groovy till we see you again next week. Love you. Thank you. Bye for now.
Thank you.